Hi, this is Kevin Conroy, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. This is Kevin Conroy, and I am the goddamn Batman.
This is GeekCast Radio. I'm, of course, GFG and Mike, and for the first time in this podcast, second time on the network, for a New York Comic Con 2025 recap, joining me is none other than Mr. Brad Filicki. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, great to be here. How you doing?
I don't know if I should answer that question. That's a rather loaded question, fully loaded, rather stocked, you might say. We are, as I said, recapping New York Comic Con 2025, and we are going to get Brad's experience in attending the con, as this is convention attention only on GeekCast Radio. How many years have you been attending New York Comic Con? Was this your first time, second time, 20th time?
19th. I've been going every year since the start in 2006.
Wow.
It's so different. Even back then, though, you could tell there was something big brewing, but there was just, now there's queue lines and you got to tap in, you got to have reservations, this and that. Back then, you could just walk into any panel room, and you might, and standing really close to you on a panel is Brian Michael Bendis, who was huge at the time, just walking into a panel on Stephen King's Dark Tower comics, things like that. It's been amazing to kind of watch it grow. And there are, ebbs and flows within those years where things were huge, things died down a little bit, dealing with things like, during the Great Recession, there was a lot less swag, you could tell. And at the height of Marveldom, which was kind of the height of the whole nerd culture thing, before superhero fatigue set in, it was just, just massive. So it comes and goes, but every year there's just so much to do, so much to see. It's the highlight of my year. It's something that I look forward to. It's like coming home. I just absolutely love it. I can see myself going to this until I'm 70, 80, things like that. Definitely love it.
So you've got about another 15 years.
Yeah, as they keep putting them out, I'll keep going.
Yeah, for sure. I would love to go, any of them. I would love to, but they're all just too big for me.
Yeah. See, they're, and this is like, the,
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, that's the thing, and a lot of people feel the same way, and that might be the one thing that pulls me away from it years down the road, is when I don't want to deal with the crowds. You go through the show floor, you go through on a Saturday afternoon, and it's hard walking. It's like sardines sometimes. Mm-hmm. So when my patience with that is at its max, then I might say, you know what, I don't need to do this anymore. But until then, I'm holding out.
I mean, you just get yourself an Amigo, or you have Tony Stark build you a superstar Amigo, yeah, and you just
exactly.
start honking that horn. Get out of my way, you young snappers. I was here first. I was here 50 years ago in 2006 when it was still good.
I joke with my girlfriend that when I'm 80, she's going to have to wheel me around in a wheelchair. Just said, but I want to go to this panel. No, I'm wheeling you around, so we're going where I want. So
you're supposed to go left, but the thing is right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, no, I mean, so what I mean about it being too much and too big, for me, yes, it is about the people and about the overstimulate. I don't do too much stimulation for me is the thing. But what I mean about it being too big between, and I know New York is obviously a slightly smaller than San Diego. San Diego is the mega, but I need these conventions for me to like, oh my God, I have to go to that. I need a catered experience for a specific fandom that I love. So take BotCon, for example. If BotCon had a specific Generation 1 Beast Wars Beast Machine, like if they had a specific thing for each day that I could just like go for an hour, hour and a half kind of thing. If New York or San Diego or whatever, the big ones had, like it, New York specifically, if New York had, this is, well, it's the 26th anniversary now, but last year was the 25th anniversary of Batman Beyond. If they had a all day Saturday specific Batman Beyond lineup that was just Batman Beyond events, I would go to those events only, and then I would go back to my hotel room, either that or I would fly home or whatever. Like, yeah. I don't need everything. Like, I at this point in 2025, almost 2026, I've been sitting here in front of my screen covering conventions for our lovely podcast network here, the Geekcast Radio Network, and for other people. I remember sitting on a call with Radio Free Cybertron back in 2012. It was a 6.5 hour podcast. I sat on there for 6.5 hours discussing San Diego Comic-Con 2012. It's just the way we do it when we can't attend these things. And I'm not saying that going to these things is a bad thing. I'm just saying for me, in order for me to really get excited, like I don't need to see it all. I want a specific tailored thing to just one part of my, like, yeah, just one part of what I love versus a golden corral of everything.
See, I don't think you're alone in that, because there's been a rise over the past, you know, maybe starting like before COVID a little, specialized cons. Like I went to a Sopranos con. Mm-hmm. They had an office con not too long ago. So there are those really specialized conventions that have been popping up here and there. For me personally, my tastes are so broad when those things, I'm always going to find something every day that I want to go to. The flip side of that is that generally I'm going to find two things that I want to go to happening at once. So I kind of got to make the decision, which one do I want to see more this year? That was kind of one good thing about this year is that that didn't really happen too much, maybe once or twice, but I think I had to leave, Ronda Rousey has a graphic novel coming out, and she was doing a panel, and I had to leave that a little early to go to the Invincible panel. I had to leave, but this doesn't have anything to do with any scheduling, but I did have to leave the Marvel television panel before they got to the Vision Quest stuff, which I'm a little bummed about. But I just think that generally I always find things that I really want to go to, or things that's like, oh, you know what? I want to learn a little bit more about that. There's a movie coming out in January with Chris Pratt called The Mercy. Mm-hmm. I went to a panel about that. There's a new FX show called The Beauty, which was based on the comic series, and it's produced by Ryan Murphy. Didn't really know much about that. Went to that panel and learned a lot. Didn't really know much about this new animated Tubi original coming out called Breaking Bear, where a bear has to sell meth to save his forest, which was just kind of funny premise, but no.
No. Okay. I came around to breaking. This is just for you, because hopefully the listeners already know the history, because we actually, my buddy Ryan and I covered all five seasons of Breaking Bad after I finally got talked into looking at the show. So I'm one of those straight edge people. I've never done drugs a day in my life. I was taught to avoid drugs at all costs. Drugs are bad, kids. Don't do drugs. Which, yes, kids, don't do drugs. But I just looked at that when I first heard about Breaking Bad when it debuted. I was like, oh, okay, so it's like Weeds but with a guy instead of a female lead. Okay, I don't care. Wasn't that I disliked it? I wasn't trying to judge it because I hadn't seen it. I just was like, I don't care. It's not for me. It's not whatever. Years later, I eventually came around, gave it a try, absolutely dug it, thought it was a great show. Great. Now you're telling me they're trying to do a cartoon version with a... Brad, I was born with brain damage. I don't need more brain damage from a cartoon bear who does math.
Yeah, well, the footage they showed, you know, it's definitely not for kids. Obviously
not.
But if you kind of liked it, kind of reminded me of a mix between like Brickleberry and some of the like Fox animation family kind of drama sitcom animation shows like Family Guy, Simpsons, the mix of all that.
Okay. My first thought was, since it's an adult animated show for adults, not adult folks in quotation marks, my first thought was, oh, it's Breaking Bad, but Archer style, but okay.
No, it's a little bit beyond the Archer style, even though I love the Archer style.
Right. Yeah. Oh boy. All right. So did you attend all 3 days or four?
Four days. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. I never like to miss a day. So I'm always there.
I always forget about the sometimes it's 5 days because they'll do Wednesday night preview night, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I just always think, oh, conventions, it's weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. That's why I say 3 days.
Yeah. But. Well, it works out for me because I generally work evenings so that I can go during the day. And then so I don't really have to miss any day. At least, I mean, I might have to leave early one or two days, but I can generally go every day.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wouldn't mind I did go to San Diego 2023, and I did like the preview night because it gives you time to really see what's on the floor. They don't have any panels, so then you can kind of get an idea of where you want to go, what you want to see on that night, and you can go to panels and then go where you have to go, you know, during, you know, on the show floor. So if they did have a preview day, I would go on Wednesday too. I always wonder if they're going to expand, but they're sticking with the Thursday through Sunday so far.
And I think that's the thing. Like, and again, I'm not sitting here saying New York is smaller than San Diego, but I mean, every time I hear San Diego Comic-Con, I think like the Disney World of conventions. And I always feel like, and I know this is backwards because I'm flip-flopping the coasts here. San Diego is the Disney World and New York is kind of the Disneyland. Yeah. You always hear more people wanting to go to Disney World. Yeah. And you always hear that Disneyland is more like the hometown kind of, like the less... Like there's a lot of... I'm sure there's a lot of people out in California that go to Disneyland. I'm not saying there isn't. I'm just saying that you are like, what's the first thing anytime anyone wins a damn Super Bowl? I'm going to Disney World. Ain't nobody saying they're going to Disneyland. Like,
that in
my entire lifetime, I've never heard any NFL quarterback say that they're going to Disneyland.
Right.
They go to Disney World. So the point is that San Diego is larger, and New York is kind of like the little brother, which means that they're not smaller. They are smaller, but they're not less important. Is kind of my point.
Yeah, I break it down like this. I think San Diego, they've just been there a little longer. I think that the studios are willing to put a lot of money into San Diego to promote movies. It's summer, you know, so they can get a lot of their summer things like that. Whereas New York, it's become over the years, I think, known as the big TV con. Like, they had the first panel for The Boys, Umbrella Academy. I'm trying to think if there's any, you know, a lot of those, the Netflix shows like Sabrina and Haunting of Hill House, things like that. It's like a big TV thing. And I think that the networks have a little less money to spend when it comes to those, like the TV panels, you know. And another thing is, like, it is just weird to see, you know, we were talking before we started recording about the idea of superhero fatigue and these conventions and how, you know, that might be drawing people away a little bit. The first 2 years after COVID, they had a Paramount sponsored a big open bar party on Saturday night on the roof of the Javits Center. And the past 2 years, they did not have that. So it's kind of interesting to see what they're willing to shell money out for. It's kind of nice. It's kind of fun being a member of that audience, because it's like you go to those conventions and you're like, okay, what do you have to sell me? Show me. Yep. We feel like we're the tastemakers. So, you know, that's always a fun thing about the cons as well.
Yeah. Like, show me what you got. There's nothing like, and again, because we live in a world where the internet is the world. www, World Wide Web, we get it. You know, where even sitting at home, like I mentioned earlier, 6.5 hour live stream, San Diego 2012, learning everything as it happens, even though we weren't there. No, seriously, like, if you're going to do something the weekend of the con, as someone who is at home, if you're going to do a live podcast, if you're going to do a live video stream, if you're going to do a live whatever, a live reaction to whatever the news is that's coming, you get to learn. Like, if this was 2005, I don't think it would be the same. Obviously, internet, whatever, but I don't think we would have the same access that we have now. Yeah. Like, you'd still have the same access, but YouTube was just starting back then.
It felt more special.
Because it wasn't, YouTube was just starting 20 years ago. And the thing about, well, you wouldn't have New York, but because New York started in 2006, right?
Yeah.
Right. Okay, yeah. Yep. You wouldn't have New York. But the point is about the convention coverage, getting the experience, even though you weren't there, is that you're right. It felt more special because you had to have a friend tell you what happened. You couldn't do what we do now, where it's like...
Yeah, it wasn't instantly on YouTube.
Yeah, exactly.
So when New York Comic Con started out, it was in February. It was always around Mardi Gras for like the first two or three years.
Mm-hmm.
And we were the first audiences to see the Dark Knight trailer. And that was before it went on YouTube. I mean,
yes.
Now, the Marvel Wonder Man trailer the day before the panel. Which I still can't figure out why they did that. I don't know if that was a mistake at somebody's part, but the Wonder Man TV trailer was released the day before the panel. So, yeah, you know, and with San Diego, I find myself Saturday night, you know, if I'm here in New Jersey, mm-hmm. I start social media for all the new trailers and stuff that comes out, especially when they have all those big panels at Hall H. It's so much easier now.
Yeah,
to feel included in those things.
Yeah, absolutely. Because they either film them or someone who is there will film them and throw them up on YouTube. And we now live, you know, like I said, 20 years later on, like 2005, YouTube was 10 minute clips or less. If you couldn't get your YouTube video under 10 minutes, you were SOL. Fast forward 20 years, you have YouTube streamers going for 4+ hours or whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter what they're doing, but you have 4, 5, 6 hour streams, and it's like, holy crap. Wow.
Yeah, you know. Exactly.
So, but yeah. All right. Where do you want to start? Thursday, Friday?
We can start Thursday.
Okay.
I can go day by day. Thursday, sure. I started out at the Vertigo panel because I'm a huge Vertigo fan. I was so excited when they announced that they were coming back. So I went to that panel to see what they had to say. Some cool new series coming out. They had to reiterate that they're still doing the Black Label, so those are going to concentrate on more adult.
Yeah, they're separate though, right? Yeah.
Yes. So Vertigo is getting kind of back to what it was in the 90s and early 2000s. They are which is actually Black Label, but there's a Gotham City Sirens new series coming out, Love Hurts, that's on Black Label. That's kind of like an R-rated, almost rom-com. It's 4 issues. Each issue is going to be a season.
Oh, wow.
Black Canary announces that she's getting married, and there's a lot of things that happen over the next year within the 4 issues. There's a series coming out called Crying Doll that deals with being in New York during the AIDS crisis. Ram V has like another magic based series coming out. Just bear with me here because I just want to get the titles right. It's called Black Tower, the Raven Conspiracy. So that's going to be fun. It's just fun for me because reminds me of what got me back into collecting comic books back in the 90s was Vertigo, like towards the late 90s with Sandman and Preacher. So it's just fun to have those smaller titles coming, you know, those kind of like creator owned titles coming back. So that was a fun panel. Then I went to the panel on this movie called Mercy. It's coming out in January, starring Chris Pratt and Rebecca Ferguson. Chris Pratt is a detective that gets arrested for murdering his wife. And this AI program gives him 90 minutes to prove his innocence. So he has to use like surveillance footage and everything to put it together because he's like stuck in a chair the entire time. And if he can't prove his innocence in 90 minutes, he's
dead.
Executed. Yes.
He's dead.
Yeah. So
I'm going to have to see a trailer for this thing because I'm not the biggest Chris Pratt fan. I don't dislike the guy, but out of all the Chris's, he's my least favorite.
Yeah. He said a little bit of a rough go of it.
I don't dislike the guy, but Star-Lord rubbed me the wrong way. I don't care.
Oh, really?
I don't care for the character. Like, it's just too arrogant. It's the character more than him. I know it's not his fault. He was just acting as the character, but he was a good voice for Mario. That's
surprisingly
about the best I can say. I'll have to watch some of his other movies, but do you follow Boss Logic? Please tell me you follow Boss Logic.
I do, but not as diligently I should.
Hopefully you've seen this, and hopefully I'll find this after the show. When I say all of the Chris's, he did a poster. all of the it was Pratt, Hemsworth, Evans, just all of the Chris's that were christening everywhere at the time.
Yeah.
So he did that. So that's what that reference is for. But yeah, no, I don't know if I'll watch the movie, but I at least want to see the trailer for it because it kind of does sound cool.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels, I mean, I don't know if you've ever played the Arkham games, but there are certain.
No, but I've seen them.
That reminds me of stuff straight from the Arkham game. So it seems like it's very inspired by the video game world, which is cool. It looks okay. I mean, the panel was fun enough, but you know, I'm not completely dying to see the movie. But yeah, it was still a fun panel. Then I went a little. There was an announcement that they were giving away free ice cream to promote the Fantastic Four DVD. So I ran a few blocks away, got some ice cream. Then I went to, they had this little installation for Welcome to Derry, where you go into this house and scary things. It's basically like a very contained haunted house, which was kind of fun. Then I walked the show floor a little bit. Ended up going to the Alien Earth panel, which was cool, but they booked it as a screening and panel. And basically, they just showed the pilot episode, which I'd seen. So I felt like, well, I've seen this. I don't need to be sitting here for an hour to get to the panel. But the panel was really cool. It had Sidney Chandler and the guy, and I'm sorry, I'm blanking on his name. It was in Alien, who was in. I'm sorry. that was Long Walk. But the guy who played the cyborg, he was there. So that was a good panel. I just wish I didn't have to sit through the pilot again, even though it was pretty good. Then went to a anniversary panel for Mr. Robot with Rami Malek and Christian Slater.
Nice.
Which was good. And that ended my Thursday, but got into every panel that I wanted to, didn't have an issue. So that was nice. I was stupid this year. I didn't apply
for my
press pass until a little later. And what that meant was I got approved, but I didn't get my badge until after reservations had gone up. The time that I went to reserve for these panels, they were all closed out. So I had to I had to sit in standby lines because the press pass doesn't get you in the panels. So,
yeah.
But the first few days, Sunday, I had a little issues, but every other day I had no issues at all with getting into anything. Then Friday I started the day, like, I'm a huge Stephen King fan. So there was a Running Man panel. Now, this panel was a little lackluster for me only because I've already seen the movie. They did pre-screenings a few weeks ago that I got into, so I had already seen it. But it was cool. Amaroff hosted, and I always see she has fun things to say. Edgar Wright was there. I'm a huge Edgar Wright fan, so it was cool to see him talk about the movie. Glenn Powell was there, which, you know, he's such a huge star right now. Everybody loves seeing him.
Yep.
He was there, and Lee Pence was there. You know, they had a good time promoting. It was a fun panel, but like I'd already seen the movie, which I do recommend to people, even if they're fans of the Schwarzenegger version. It's definitely worth checking out. Then after that, I went to the DC Comics Gotham City panel, and they also talked a lot about that Sirens series. There was a lot of stuff coming out of, you know, the Absolute Batman and launching a new Batman number one with Matt Fraction.
Still need to read that. That's another one.
Yeah, I love his work, so I have definitely given up on the idea of monthly comics. I just stick to the trades. So I'm excited when that first trade comes out.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I can't do monthly. I do with the Skybound stuff because I do another podcast, somebody else's podcasts. But generally, yeah, I prefer the trades over the monthlies because it's just It's just easier. You have the whole story.
Yes, and it's so expensive. And I hate trying to store comics. Long box, they are just, they're heavy. They're just hard to store. I much prefer the trades. There's an Absolute Catwoman series coming out. They talked about that a little bit. So yeah, that basically sums up what was going on with the Batman world. Then let's see, what was the next panel? There was some pretty cool things for Resident Evil Requiem at the booth. That was kind of fun. Yeah, a lot of show floor stuff. It is of note too that the last couple of years DC did not have a booth, but this year they were back. They liked that they had like the Peacemaker costume displayed, some exclusive shirts. So it was nice to see DC back. Then I went to the panel on the X-Men comic. It was just a lot of stuff that's coming off the Age of Revelations that's starting now. There's like a new Expatriate X-Men series.
Very cool. Very
cool. A new Rogue series, a new Magic series, Deadpool, and a new Cyclops series, a new Storm series. So then I went to Ronda Rousey panel. She's got a graphic novel coming out, and I was just curious. I always found her interesting and always wondered what her kind of connection was to this world, but she's always loved comics. So yeah, she's got a comic coming out based with a character called Mother, who is basically based on her, but with a lot more violence and guns.
Okay.
So yeah. And then to the Invincible panel, which was cool. Kirkman was there, and Stephen Young and Jillian Jacobs. They released the, you know how for trailers for each season they have the Burger Mart. They showed that new trailer. Lee Pace was on that panel as well, as he's voicing a character. For that, then there was the Bloomfest panel where Jason Blum talks a lot about stuff that's coming out. For me, this panel was fun because, again, I'm a Stephen King fan, and Black Phone is based on a Joe Hill story, his son. So Joe Hill was there at the panel, and some of the cast of Black Phone 2, Ethan Hawke. They also had, this was a surprise too, is they also have a gaming division, and Robin Fink from Nine Inch Nails, who plays guitar for the Live Band, came out to, he's got a game coming out called Sleep Awake, which sounds really cool. It's like a reverse Nightmare on Elm Street in a way, like you can't fall asleep.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. But that game looks cool, but it was just cool seeing him. I didn't know he had like any, you know, any foot in the gaming industry. So that was a complete surprise. So that was kind of cool as a Nine Inch Nails fan. They talked about, they ended the night. Matthew Lillard came out. They did a little talk on Five Nights at Freddy's 2, which I didn't mind the first one, but the fact that so many people liked it and it did so well when there was all these other films that should have done better than it and didn't. So, but I'll go see it. So that was my Friday. Then I started Saturday by going to the It Welcome to Derry panel, where the scenes they showed were really cool. So that just really got me even more hyped for this. Mm-hmm. And as a Stephen King fan, they're bringing the character Dick Halloran back, who is in The Shining. But what a lot of people don't know is that he was actually in the book as well, so that stays true to the It book. So that, I think that's kind of a cool angle. So that was a fun panel for me, and I just love the footage they showed. Then the Marvel TV panel, where they talked about the second season of The Amazing Spider-Man, the animated show.
Yep.
And they brought the showrunners on for X-Men 97 to talk a little about the second season. They showed like a sizzle reel
They showed this puzzle reel, and then they also like, oh, by the way, season three, we're working
yes.
on that too.
Yes, yeah. they did. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
that and that news seems was funny. Everywhere. I can't tell you.
Yeah, that's funny because they didn't. That scene, I can't tell. But now that it did blow up the internet like it did, I think that was somehow planned. They announced that. Oh,
of course that was planned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you want more? You can't have any more. Yeah. But wait, there's more.
Yeah, because, you know what? Come to think of it. It wasn't a question from the audience or anything. It was just the guy said, what about season three? Uh-huh. And then boom, it was off to the races.
Yep, off to the races.
And then they showed the trailer for Daredevil Born Again, which was very cool because they brought Charlie Cox out and Kristen Ritter because Jessica Jones is coming back in the second season. So the crowd went nuts when they saw her in the trailer. I think that's such a great thing. She was so good as that character. And they had fun. They had pretty good chemistry up there talking about it.
Yeah,
it seems like she was happy to be back.
Other than Iron Fist, the Marvel Netflix shows were good.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I would like all those actors and actresses to come back and play those characters.
Absolutely.
100%. I don't think you've ever had a better Punisher than Jon Bernthal. No matter what you think of the character,
absolutely.
And they talked about Wonder Man and showed that trailer. Ben Kingsley there, he came out because he's being whatever his character's name is, but I always call him the Mandarin. He's back. I appreciate his willingness to come back. Because he sure doesn't need to, but I like it.
Yeah, he deserves to come back and actually be the character, though. Because look, I like Iron Man 3 specifically for the music and some of the actual visual moments and stuff. But that villain twist was so friggin' stupid.
Well, that still to this day, even though it kind of redeemed itself in the Legend of Shang-Chi, but that was one of my least favorite things that they've ever done in the MCU.
Yeah,
is what they did with the Mandarin.
Yeah,
and I ended up loving the rest of the movie. I was able to look past it.
Yeah, that's the only thing that is wrong with that movie is that villain twist. That was so stupid because everything else leading up to that was great. Like, I was like, okay, so they're going to bring out the 10 rings. They got the rings. They're doing this. They're doing that. That they're going to wait a minute. Who's this Joe Schmo white guy? Who the hell? Get him out of there.
Your puny weaponry is ineffectual against me, Iron Man. The power of the heart fills me with a strength beyond your comprehension.
Oh, man. Then I went to the Breaking Bear panel, new animated show coming out on Tubi. Brendan Fraser was there because he does the voice. Sarah Michelle Gellar, Annie Murphy, and Elizabeth Hurley, of all people. They were all there.
Wow.
And it was just funny because the moderator asked, is this your first con? And of course, the only person who said yes was Elizabeth Hurley.
She seemed
so out of place. Like, this is so totally not her scene. But she was a good sport. But that turned out to be a fun panel because I kind of just went because I was kind of curious because I hadn't heard and I saw who was going to be on the panel. I thought, ooh, that's interesting. Like, wouldn't mind seeing Buffy face to face. So that was kind of a fun panel. Then there was the Mortal Kombat 2 panel. Keith Urban showed up. I think this panel was kind of planned before they ended up pushing the movie back because now it was supposed to come out, I think, in November, and now it's not coming out again until May. It's not coming in. So they were kind of stuck not being able to talk about too much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they basically said that.
I haven't seen the first one for the new live action.
It is what it is. For what it is, I enjoyed it. But it is Mortal Kombat. I love Mortal Kombat, but it's a little hokey. The whole story. So once you get past that, you're solid. And it's funny. I think somebody asked, "Oh, why was it delayed?" And the director was there too, and he said, "Well, basically, we've been showing it to test audiences. They liked it so much that we want to keep adding more." Kind of summing up what he said, which I found kind of ridiculous, but you know, whatever. I'm still going to go see it. I'll still look forward to it.
That's dumb. They liked it so much. They want us to. They liked it so much. We want to add more. No, they liked it so much. That should tell you, okay, we have a perfect movie here. Let's release it now. No, don't and stop. Don't add more bullshit. Cut the bullshit. Release it now.
You know, I think the first one felt like kind of like a mid-budget movie, like Spawn. Like, remember Spawn back in the 90s? Kind of like that. And I think what he was trying to say is that we want to make it look more like a top budget blockbuster.
Oh, okay. You can. Okay. All right. Let's go to the tape here. I'm going to go to something that's 30 years old because that's what I know. And that's only just because,
Even the first Mortal Kombat movie.
I'm not going to go there just yet. I'm going to reference that, but GoldenEye is 30 years old this year. GoldenEye had a $60 million budget. It had a box office of $356.4 million. $60 million budget. Now, that to me says, hey, okay, this is James Bond. This is James Bond's return. He hasn't been on screen in 6 years since 6 years. Because Timothy Dalton, License to Kill, was the last one. It's been 6 years. Pierce Brosnan's going to be the savior. He's going to be the return. He's going to be bring Bond back. Great. Awesome. Fine. Fun. We made $356.4 million off of $60 million. That's awesome. That's all you need. I have not seen the new Mortal Kombat, the first one. I'm not judging the film. I'm just saying, all right, the 2021 film, I'm not judging it. I'm looking at the numbers. It had a $55 million budget. It only made $84.4 million. It did make three times its budget back, almost four times its budget back. So it made money. It isn't like it lost money. Mm-hmm. The 1995 film, 30 years old. Say what you will about that film. But that film had, oh my God. What did I just say? The Mortal Kombat, the current one had, it had a, okay, the 2021 film had a $55 million budget, okay? Oops, I'm going backwards. The 1995 film had a $20 million budget. It made $122.2 million.
Uh-huh.
Like, I get it. He wants it to be a bigger budget film, but in my personal opinion, as long as whatever your budget is, as long as you make that money back and turn a profit off of that, fine. As long as the fans are happy, fine. As long as you make money and your fans are happy, fine. Not everything has to be an Avengers. 2012. Not everything has to be 2012. Not everything has to be Infinity War and Endgame. Not everything has to be.
Exactly. A film is going to be better if they stop with that, because these films, it's going to be. You know how almost nearly impossible it's going to be for Avengers Doomsday to be hugely possible, even if it makes $1 billion, because of marketing and everything that went into it. They need to pull back, because so many people are not going to the movie theaters anymore.
Yep,
they're waiting for streaming. They've got to find a way to make these films on a lesser budget so that they can redefine what a success is, because if not, you know, we're doomed. And that's what's happening in the video game space, because these games are so expensive to produce and they take so long that it's not worth doing. And it's going to be the same way. It's going to be the same way with film if they don't rein it in.
I can't believe we're in phase six already.
Yeah, no.
I cannot believe, like, Fantastic Four is the first film in phase six. and then Brand New Day is in July next year, and then Doomsday and Secret Wars are December of 2026 and December of 2020. Wait a minute. You mean to tell me they're not going to do any movies between December and December of 26 and 27?
Yeah, I don't see how.
Okay, fine, but that's weird.
Yeah, maybe they'll squeeze out that Blade movie finally.
Yeah, right.
They might have given up on that completely. I don't know, but
I know you're going to mention this. You haven't mentioned it yet, but they've got Vision Quest late this year,
and then yes,
Neighborhood Spider-Man season 2 and 3 late 2026. I'm just looking at dates, man. I'm not trying to steal your thunder from the convention. Marvel, what are you doing?
Yeah, I had to leave the panel before I saw the Vision Quest stuff. So, so the fact that you're filling that piece in, that's actually good.
Well, I'm just like I said, I'm on the Marvel Phase 6 Wikipedia page because I was like, wait a minute, we're already on Phase 6. I can't believe we're on Phase 6 and Phase 6. Only has 4 films, and that means we get 1 film this year, which we've already gotten in Fantastic Four First Steps. We get Brand New Day in July of next year, and then Doomsday closes out the year next year. I mean, look, I get it. We've talked about this already in this episode. We mentioned it about superhero fatigue, but I'm just sitting here thinking to myself, Marvel, I get it. They've slowed down. I get it. Doomsday and Secret Wars are 2 very big things. I get the plans. Don't get me wrong. I understand it. But it feels weird not to have what we had from 2013 to 2017, where Marvel was and I get it. I'm perfectly fine with the slowdown. It just, on paper, looking at this Wikipedia page, 4 projects in 2 years, it looks strange to me. That's all. But
I'm kind of hoping. I'm kind of hoping that DC can kind of fill that vacuum with some good movies. Like, hopefully Supergirl will be good. And, I guess Man of Tomorrow will be the third movie coming out. Because I still have my doubts. Everybody's talking about this Swamp Thing and Clayface movies. I will believe it when I see it. I've been covering DC for so long, I know that not to get your hopes up. It's not always, it's not DC's fault, but there's times when you should not get your hopes up.
Yeah, so obviously Superman was this year, July 11th, 2025. Supergirl is June 26th of next year. Clayface is September. No. DC, please do not do this. Do not do this. Change that damn date. Change that goddamn release date right now, DC Films. James Gunn, I don't care. Whoever, I don't care. Clayface should not release on September 11th, 2026. But that's what it says here, that it's releasing on 9/11/20. No. No, don't stop.
Yeah, I will believe it when I see it.
I understand, but no.
I mean, it's not... It's off topic, but so much of the time I don't think Warner Brothers has any idea what they're doing. James Gunn does, so there's that. But I don't know. The upper management at Warner Brothers has no idea what's going on.
I'm very here's where, and again, folks, I know we're off the convention thing, but this is just the way these podcasts go sometimes. But this is all superheroes. It's going to tie back into comic books eventually and conventions and whatever. But I've seen so many clips and so many behind the scenes and so many interviews of Superman. I don't even feel like I need to watch the movie because I've seen it all. I know how the movie goes. I know what happens. And it's not that I was spoiled on it or anything. I'm not that person. Oh my God, you spoiled it. I can never, I'm not that person. Spoilers don't affect me. Like, cause I'll half the time, like if you tell me, Batman Beyond is Terry McGinnis. Well, yeah, I knew that 26 years ago, whatever, whatever. Like, and I'll forget it 20 minutes later, even though I knew it 26 years ago, but like, I know how the movie begins. I know what the Superman's beginning, middle, and end is. I know that Krypto is there. I know that Supergirl shows up. Like, there's no surprises in me in Superman. I have no experience. I have no, there's no, like, I need to now wait until, like, right before watching Supergirl next year to watch Superman, because I'm so entrenched in all the news of it and all the whatever's, like, I need to have some distance from it right now at this point. But like, I don't know. Like, I trust the man, but you know, I don't know, dude. I just, from what I saw of Super, the one little clip, dude, where's my dog? What you do with my, like, I like her. She's fun.
Yeah.
She looks like she's gonna kick, like, I'm very in. And again, coming from a guy who grew up, I was 4 years old when Helen Slater was on screen in 1984 with the original Supergirl movie. I love the Super, I don't care what anyone says about that damn movie. I love the original Supergirl movie. Anytime she has ever shown up in any Superman media, just, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
All right, where are we with the recap here?
Okay, so
Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, then I, after the Mortal Kombat 2 panel, I went to a panel on The Beauty, which is a new FX show created by Ryan Murphy of, you know, Monster and Glee and fame. So he has a new series coming out based on a an Image comic. Basically, you take a shot and it will automatically bring you to like your complete genetic potential. So people are getting beautiful, they're getting smart, but the problem is that you explode after 850 days. So you're having all these scenes with like these supermodels exploding. So two detectives have to go and research it. Yeah. Yeah. But so Evan Peters and Rebecca Hall play the detectives. They were part of the panel. Anthony Ramos plays like an assassin. He was there. Ashton Kutcher, who plays the owner of the company that comes up with the shot, he was there. Ryan Murphy was there to talk about it. So that was a fun panel. I'm kind of looking forward to the show. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Now, my first joke when you said the title of the show, I'm like, Beauty, I guess there's no beast. Oh, wait, the fact that they die after 850 yes. days. That's the beast.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. trying to think what, yeah, I mean, it does look like a definitely has that Ryan Murphy flavor to it, but I think it's going to be good. Ashton Kutcher was talking like, you know, he does a lot of, I mean, I guess he's come out of a lot of flack lately. Not exactly canceled, but I think he was treating people bad but he talked a lot about the social implications of what the show is trying to say, because he's kind of in that tech world too. He's invested in a lot of these tech startups, so he had kind of a little bit of that experience bringing it into the character of the owner of this evil company.
Okay.
So I do think I'll be watching that. I think that comes out in January.
That's what Murphy, I don't know his name off the top of my head, but now I recognize Nip Tuck, of course.
Yes, that was one of his first shows. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, yeah. Well,
you mentioned his name, and I'm like, how do I, like, if you mentioned Ryan Gosling, you mentioned Reynolds, you mentioned any other Ryan, I'm like, okay, sure, I know that guy. 911. Okay,
he did those two shows too. Yep.
I know. I'm looking right. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. All right, very cool. Yeah,
and that was my Saturday. You know, like I was saying, they used to have after parties, like an open bar. It was, one year it was Yellow Jackets, one year it was just like their scary Halloween shows. But they didn't have that this year, so that was a wrap on Saturday. Then Sunday, I tried to go to the Last Airbender panel, but that was the first panel that I got shut out of. I did go to the X-Men cast reunion, which was James McAvoy and Elliot Page. So that was fun. But that was the only panel that I went to on Sunday. And then it was just a lot of walking around the show floor, walking around Artist Alley a little bit. That's always fun. I was hoping that James Tynion would be there with his Tiny Onion. but I didn't see, they could have been there. I just did not see them where I was walking around. So I don't think they were, but I can't say for sure. Yeah. And the show floor got crazy on Sunday. Usually Sunday it's a little easier to walk around, but it was really, really packed. So I don't know if it's how they scheduled the panels on Sunday. There was also a Fiona and Cake. I'm an Adventure Time fan, so I was going to go to that panel, and that seemed a little crowded. So I didn't go to that. So just a lot of show floor for the rest of Sunday, and that was the con.
Very cool. All right. So what was your favorite part of the whole thing?
I would say my favorite part, just because I am a Stephen King fan, I liked all the Welcome to Derry stuff and Running Man, and I really liked that Joe Hill showed up at the Blumhouse panel. So that was fun for me. And just the overall experience was pretty good. Even though I was stuck on the standby lines, I didn't feel like I spent a whole time on lines. It seemed to be pretty efficient. And there were a few years, probably like around 2014, where almost every single panel I tried to get into, it was shut out. That's when it was growing to the point where they didn't know how to deal with it. So that it's kind of nice to see that stuff in the past. So just the overall quality of life experience with the con was pretty good. Just shut out of that one panel.
Yeah.
My girlfriend and I did try to go to the One Punch Man screening, and that we were shut out of too. And that was also on Sunday. So a lot of stuff on Sunday seemed to be very packed.
Hmm. Yeah, and you would think that the Sundays at the con, like unless it's like panels or screenings, usually Sunday is kind of like cleanup day.
Yeah, it's usually pretty mellow. You sometimes find good deals with some stuff at the end of the show.
Yep.
But yeah, it was very, very busy up until the end.
You want to tell the James McAvoy autograph story?
Oh, yeah. My friend came in from out of town from Pittsburgh. She's a really big fan. So she decided just to... And she's not your typical Comic-Con audience type. So it's funny how those autographs get people in. I never had the experience. And she was like, oh, can you help me, you know, find my way around and do the autograph thing? So... And I'd never done it before, so I kind of had to find my way to it. And it worked out pretty smooth. He was nice. She ended up running up to at the end of the panel and where he was on and trying to take a picture, but he grabbed her phone and took a selfie. So I was almost like, you didn't need to pay. You got that picture. You almost don't need to pay for the photo op. Yeah. But those things are really, really popular. That is not something that I've ever participated in. That's not, it's a big draw for a lot of people, but I feel like if I have $150 to buy some graphic novels and like a couple t-shirts, I'm going to do that rather than a photo op. That's just how I look at it. It just doesn't seem to be worth the money, but that was, you know, just pretty efficient as well. From what I can tell, cause I'd never done it, but yeah, they that all went pretty smooth.
How was the staff? Did you have, like, I know not a lot of people have a run-in with the staff, but how was it staffed? Like, was, like, how was all that? Like, was there any issues or anything with that kind of stuff?
No. They were very nice and told me exactly where we had to go.
Very cool.
Like, is this the right standby line? Yes.
Yep.
I had a friend with an ADA badge that he had some slack getting let in at one entrance, and he got into an altercation with one of the staff security guys. But other than that, yeah, the staff's always been, I find, pretty good, which is a good thing to say, because it would be very easy to get annoyed with constantly getting barraged with dumb questions. I have no complaints about the staff at all.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's the thing. That's one of the reasons why we do. That's one of the reasons why I like doing convention attention, is to point out to anyone listening that may want to go to New York or San Diego or Emerald City or Rose City or whatever ones we end up doing on this thing, is if you're going to these things, hey, you know, the staff is there to help you, but also be courteous to them. They'll be courteous. You know, it's the old standard, you know, say nice stuff to people. They'll say nice stuff to you. Don't harass them. But if you have questions, just be polite about it and that kind of thing and whatever. And, you know, if you put good deeds out into the world, the good deeds will come back.
Yep. Don't start none, won't be none. Yep.
Well, then. All right. We just went back to playground rules. Holy crap. Yeah, all right. Here we go, folks. Is there anything you think that the staff or the organizer, I mean, the organizers, but like, is there anything you think Reed Pop specifically for New York, is there anything they could change for next year?
I think they might have to reevaluate Sunday because it was so packed. I don't know if it means kind of putting some of those panels. I mean, you have to have something on Sunday, obviously, but, you know, I think it was obvious that Avatar was going to be a huge panel. So, you know, I don't know where they could have moved that to make that a little more efficient. But that's really, I think really with that, we just might have gotten there too late. You know, so overall, I think they've gotten really good at running a smooth machine. Like, they know what they're doing now. They kind of got everything together. I wasn't thrilled with how the reservations work, just because I was shut out when I tried to go in.
Right.
Granted, that was probably my fault, but it just seems like one of those things, like if you're trying to buy concert tickets and they sell out in a minute, you just never get lucky. So I don't know how to manage that.
Yeah. I mean, they could always come up with a better system of how to do it. I mean, that's, you know, I mean,
yeah. And then they try new things. Like every year, do they sell 4-day passes? Do they just sell them Thursday, you know, the individual day passes? It's, you know, they keep trying.
Yeah. Hey, as long as they keep trying, and as long as they don't trust the artificial intelligence, trust the actual intelligence, people.
Yeah.
Use the actual intelligence, not the artificial crap.
Exactly.
We don't want no artificial butter around here.
Yeah, exactly.
Final thoughts, and what other cons are you going to in either this year or next year?
I'm planning on going to the Big Apple Con, which is like a smaller con at the New Yorker Hotel. That's November 22nd. That's a fun little con, but that's like for those really old guys that were buying Zap comics back in the day that remember when the very first Comic-Con was held across from Penn Station in the 60s. It's like that really old school history of Captain Marvel panel type thing. And that, but it's still fun. It's a lot smaller. That's in November. Not that it's a con, but it's still kind of fun. I'm trying to get into Toy Fair to
if you do, let me know.
I will, because I usually cover for the DC, so But that's funny because that's such a professional con that you can't buy into the toys you see. So it's very much feels like work rather than something that I'd go to anyway. You know, so I think that's in March, and then I really want to go to BookCon. I found out because BookCon actually had a booth at Comic-Con, and it looks like ran into somebody on the train who was at the con, and she was saying that it was already sold out. So hopefully I can get a press for BookCon, because BookCon was great. They did like 2 years in New York, then they did 1 year in Chicago, and then 2 more years in New York, and then they shut it down after COVID, and now they're bringing it back. So I'm really looking forward to that. I don't think I'm going to try for San Diego this year.
Next year,
Or next year. I mean, off the subject, but it coincides with like a family reunion day that my family does. So I try to go 1 year San Diego, 1 year to the family reunion thing like that. So I don't think I'll be going to San Diego next year. So I think that's it. A slight chance that I would go to C2E2 because my niece does live in Chicago. So that's always a possibility. So we'll see. But yeah, right now it's definitely going to try for Big Apple and BookCon and Toy Fair. Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con next year.
Yep. New York Comic-Con next year. Very cool.
Yeah. And overall, as far as final thoughts for this year, I wish there was more new stuff. There were just a few too many of the reunion panels. There was, like I said, the Mr. Robot anniversary panel, the X-Men. There was a Matrix panel with I think Hugo Weaving and Lawrence Fishburne. So I wish those panels are fun, but I'm more into the panels about stuff that's coming up.
That's
my one quibble this year, and just that Sunday was a little oddly packed. But yeah, I mean, I love it. I cannot see me not going. I haven't missed a year yet. Don't plan on missing. And I go to these, you know, there's certain friends that I always meet at the con, and every year it's the same thing. This year sucks. I'm not going next year. This is too much. And they always end up going. Me, I'm very optimistic. There's enough to be cynical about in the world that going to the con is not something I'm going to be cynical about. It's just everything I love explodes.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and it's frustrating because you get really inspired, but you know, you're talking about overstimulated, but you're just like, you had this nerd stuff for 4 days just screaming at you, and you're so inspired, but you're also so tired, and all you want to do is sleep for a week when it's done and not watch one superhero show, you know, and just kind of recalibrate and recharge. That was my New York Comic Con 2025 experience.
There you go, folks. Well, we got one more thing. Just one more thing, folks.
You're pretty strong for some clown who thinks he's Batman.
I am Batman.
So, in their infinite wisdom, when Funko announced their New York Comic Con exclusives this year, I was and I wasn't really paying attention because Funko usually does mostly anime exclusives, and the only anime I really care about is Yu-Gi-Oh! The original Duel Monsters, Kaiba, Yugi, Joey, all that, and whatever. Mm-hmm. All that stuff. Fine, whatever. But if they do anything Batman Beyond, I basically sit up straight, stand at attention, whatever. And originally, it was supposed to be a shared exclusive with some store, I don't even remember. There's a photo out there of somebody actually receiving a Batman Beyond damaged, and I'll talk about that in a minute. It's what the pop is. I'll explain it in a minute. The pop isn't damaged. It's a thing. I'll explain it in a minute. But they received it with the shared sticker on it, because originally it was supposed to be shared. At the 11th hour, Funko switch. Oh, this is now going to be show only. No, don't, and stop, Funko.
Mm-hmm.
I know this thing isn't going to skyrocket in value. I mean, I've looked at it on eBay. It's like ranges from like 150 to 190 bucks. The MSRP on it was 40.
Yeah.
No, I get it. Fine, whatever. But here's the thing. So here's what people were confused about with this. What people were confused about was when Funko first showed it off with their official promo, New York City 2025, Curiosities and Oddities. This is the official image, and it looks like he's not, but it looks like the red marks on his head. It looks like blood. It's not blood.
Yeah.
It's not blood. So this specific pop is from I forget what the episode title is off the top of my head. It's from the Robert Vance episode. It's from the episode where Bobby Vance and Robert Vance, it's from Soul Lost. That's what it is. Lost Soul. It's from the episode Lost Soul from Batman Beyond from the TV show. In that episode, Lost Soul, Robert Vance was this character that he's one of these characters that I'm an old man. I don't want to die. I want to live forever, which means I'm going to upload my consciousness to this computer and I'm going to wake up 65 years in the future. Because that's when Batman Beyond takes place. 65 years from whenever now is, but technically it takes place in 2039, which, holy shit, folks, we are not that far off. We're not that far off. So when people first saw the glams for this, they're like, oh my God, Batman Beyond bloody, blah, blah. I'm like, it's not blood. Mm. What it is it's the tech parts. It's a damaged suit. It's when Batman was fighting the technology, he was fighting Vance and Vance was taking over his suit. So that's what the red lines are. So if you look if you zoom in there,
I'm looking, look, it's like, the,
yeah. So it's damage. Yeah.
Yeah. If you look at it closely, you can tell that it's damaged. It doesn't have a feel like blood. It doesn't. Yeah. No, if you look at it far away, it looks like blood, but
it's very much, here, I'll send you a zoomed in shot. It's very much tech damage from the Vance computer virus type thing taking over the suit. I kind of understand why people looked at the head and was like, oh my God, there's blood. No, it's just
More geometrical.
Yeah. On the body. On the body than it is on the head.
Yeah.
So my problem with this is that Funko originally said, guess what? We're going to have this as a shared exclusive. I'm like, okay, fine. It'll be a shared exclusive. It's not going to go anywhere. It'll be whatever, whatever, whatever. And then at the last, like I said, the 11th hour, they're like, show only. And I'm like, oh crap. That means I'm going to have to shell out at least $100 or $150 for this thing. Because I can't go to the show. If I had, I remembered in the back of my mind you were going, and then I was like, oh crap, I had surgery and a bunch of other things happen, and I just didn't even think about it. But you want to talk about lines, and this thing is limited to 1,000 pieces, and I'm like, oh God,
yeah,
they just make these things so damn difficult.
Yeah, it's
like you had to pick the one thing, the only thing, that I wanted from your catalog to make show only in 1,000 piece thing.
And with exclusive, with cons like that, I don't even bother.
Because they're all sold out anyway. Yeah.
It's just not now. In fact, like, changing the subject slightly, my girlfriend is a really big Hello Kitty fan. And Kid Robot was having this plush taxi with a taxi driver Hello Kitty. And it said pre-order. So I thought, okay. you can pre-order it and then you don't have to worry. So I told her, I'll go up the first, before I realized it was going to be also on pre-order. I said, I'll go up to, that'll be the first thing I do is I'm going to run to that booth because I know that those exclusives go.
Yeah.
And then once I found it was pre-ordered, I was like, nope. So she comes to the con the next day and she does her thing for a little bit. I meet back up with her and she has the plushie. I was like, I couldn't believe they were selling it. I was like, I'm so sorry. I would have gone and gotten it for you. had I known that they were selling it, but I just figured it was pointless because it was going to sell out too fast, so just order it online.
And
I do this, maybe it's a bad habit, but if there's like, you know, they do giveaways, like sometimes t-shirts or hats, for the Mortal Kombat, they did Johnny Cage sunglasses. So I always go back and I put it on eBay just to see what I can get for it, or I see what it's going for on eBay. And I never really have much luck with it. In fact, I've got stuff behind my couch from 2024's Comic-Con, like two Venom posters for the movie. I should throw those out because nobody wanted them on eBay. But those exclusives, and especially the pops,
there's not many that I go, like, in every con catalog that Funko puts out, maybe want three things out of the entire catalog.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly fine waiting because I'm perfectly fine saving my money up, and I know I'm going to pay extra on the aftermarket. That's fine. As long as they don't skyrocket to $200, $300, $400, $500. Like, I know this thing. Like, I already have a search saved from eBay. I've already looked at it. I know I can get it, like I said, somewhere between $150 and $190. And I know there are more important things I need to be spending my money on right now. I'm not buying it right now. Yeah. I just wanted to search for it to see what it was going to, like, I wanted to know what the ballpark was in the back of my mind so I can say, okay, let me set this over here for now. I'm perfectly fine waiting, and hopefully maybe it'll go down and I can get a deal for it at Christmas time or something. I highly doubt.
Yeah, they might. Yeah, I mean, a lot of those things, people will put, like, the, you know, like the t-shirts and hats, people will show that up to like $50 because they're exclusive. You wait a little while and they go down. Pop's a little different because they're such
they're very different.
Yeah, I did notice this year.
Good.
Sorry, that Pop, at cons, Funko takes up so much real estate. There's everybody selling Pops there all over.
Yeah.
This year that died down a little bit, but now there was a whole lot of Labubu, of course, but that's.
Oh God. I don't even want. I'd rather reawaken La Bamba than talk about Labubu.
Yeah. Right.
So, all right, folks, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Convention Attention. Previously to this, the last episode was our top 100 animated series nominees, the 1990s edition. Coming up next will be our 2000s nominees edition of the top 100 animated series nominees. We are not doing an ad break because I'm too lazy, so we're going to go right into the outro. Do you have anything you would like to promote before I run through the outro, sir?
Let me get back to you on that. Maybe when we record another podcast, because I want to promote the DC News .com's podcast, but that's been on a bit of a hiatus, so
I mean, you can still promote it, it's still there, so, right?
So definitely, you know, keep checking that out for older episodes. And I'm never on X really, so I don't really tweet a lot, or I can't stand TikTok, so I'm an old man.
I refuse that. I don't. I have Twitter. Because it will always be called Twitter. You should not name a social network a letter. Letters do not equal names to me. I mean, unless you're a famous musician that unfortunately has been gone for a while. DMX, that's perfectly fine. That's at least three letters, not just one. You know, Facebook and Blue Sky, those are my three. And Instagram, those are four. I'm limited myself to four. I never get into never get into Mastodon. I never get into Bumble, Rumble, blah, 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 whatever.
Yeah.
All right, folks. Well, thank you for listening to us here on Geekcast Radio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Plus, we now have a brand new store. Visit shop.geekcastradio.com, where you can buy t-shirts up to 4XL. You can buy hats. You can buy other all kinds of stuff. Check us out over there. You can also email us feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can listen to us on any of the podcatching clients you choose to use, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, etc. You can join our Discord. The link will be in the show notes on geekcastradio.com. Become a fan on Facebook and all that good stuff. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Geekcast Radio. Wish you'll join us next time. As I mentioned earlier, the Top 100 Animated Series 2000s nominees will be revealed next time. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Brad Flicky.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
For now, though, courage.
You've just heard a podcast from the Geekcast Radio Network. If you enjoyed this discussion, head over to geekcastradio.com to check out this episode's post for more insights and links. Interact with the show, feedback@geekcastradio.com, or interact with us on X @geekcastradio and on Facebook @geekcastradio network. Don't forget to subscribe to the Geekcast Radio Network of podcasts on your favorite podcatcher. So until next time, unleash the geek in you.